Welcome to the Governor's House. I'm Larry Sharp, running for governor here in November 2018. LarrySharp.com, S-H-A-R-P-E, and the E stands for electable. I also have my daughter here, Barbara, not Josephine. And I'm talking today about New York State. You might say, well, wait a minute, Larry, what's this thing you're wearing? This is a hat for the Utica Blue Sox. I did an upstate tour, Central New York tour, this last week, and I was all over the place. One of the things I was able to do, very happily I was able to do, it was I was able to actually throw out the first pitch at the Utica Blue Sox game. Yes, I can still pitch. I know I'm 50, but I can still pitch. I was actually born and raised in the Bronx as a youngster, so yeah, I'm able to still pitch. So go Blue Sox. There we go. Well, what I also dealt with on this trip was I visited a prison, a correctional facility. And there were several problems here that I dealt with, and I really tried to understand what the COs, or the corrections officers, how they felt. Many of you may know my father was in law enforcement. He was a cop for a bit, and then also a corrections officer. And as a corrections officer, I remember how we felt. He was in Rikers Island, of course. I live in New York City. So I remember how we felt. And I remember some of the stories he told me and things he told me. And as I've met many corrections officers, as I've been traveling the state, many of them come to my events, they often say things to me like, Larry, this feels terrible. I feel like everything is bad. I don't like all these things. They're very unhappy. In fact, the biggest thing that I noticed when I was talking to these COs coming and going at the prison was they said things like this. Just 7 years and I'm out. 4 years and I'm out. 5 years and I'm out. And I kept hearing them wanting to leave. They didn't want to do their job. They were staying in their job basically because it's a job and they want to try to get a pension and that kind of thing. But there was another problem they had. They weren't even good getting pensions because the most correction officers, particularly those from the state, they don't even have a contract. There are rules and regulations and things that keep them kind of handcuffed. That's a good pun. Keep them handcuffed, but they don't feel like they actually have a job that has much value. And this is a problem that I see many times with many government employees, but it's really bad when it comes to corrections officers. So many correction officers feel like what's happening with them is the prisoners are treated better than they are. Yeah, they feel like the prisoners are treated better than they are. Because the prisoners have to have rights, the prisoners have to have feelings, and I got it, keep them safe, I got that. But then they wind up punishing the corrections officers who are having to deal with some of the toughest criminals around. Now, not count on top of that, they don't even have a contract. So I feel for the COs. So I was talking about them, talking to them. And there's something that I know. I know that there are people in prison who really deserve to be in prison. And probably shouldn't leave. And there are people in prison who deserve to be in prison, but also deserve a second chance. And there are people in prison who shouldn't be in prison. All three of those are true. The problem is, here's what I don't know. I don't know which ones are which. I have no idea. I don't know which one of those people are the hardcore guys who shouldn't be getting out, and which are the ones that deserve a second chance, and which are the ones who shouldn't be there in the first place. So what does that mean? How do I find out? How about instead of me ignoring corrections officers, acting like they're all the bad guys, acting like they just want to beat up criminals all day and put these punks down, instead of acting like that, how about instead I actually listen? How about I realize that as a governor, I'm not going to know who are the good guys and the bad guys and the guys who have second chances. But maybe the people who deal with these people, these inmates, every single day, maybe they know. Maybe I shouldn't be trying to dismiss them and not talk to them because people think all the corrections officers are prison guards and are bad. But instead, I should accept the prison guards and the COs for what they actually are. Just humans. Just men and women trying to do the right thing in a very tough job. That's what it is. It doesn't make them good or bad. And don't get me wrong, there are absolutely bad COs, just like there are bad truck drivers, like there are bad teachers, just like there are bad marketing reps and sales reps and everything else. There are bad people in every single group. And there are bad COs too. But the problem is when you have an environment to where they feel like they're the ones only being attacked, when you have an environment to where they feel like they're being handcuffed and not being supported, what winds up happening is the good correctional officers wind up leaving or becoming apathetic. The apathetic correctional officers can't wait to leave or don't even report bad correctional officers. And the bad correctional officers now become monsters. This is what we're creating. And then we wonder, how can we fix our prison system? And we're not even asking the COs about this. And this is the part that drives me crazy. We have so many people who are trying to talk about fixing our prison system, and no one's talking to the people actually in it. How about instead we start talking to the people who are in it? You've heard me say this many times before. I'm the governor who doesn't know everything. Guess what? No governor knows everything. No governor knows everything. The only difference between me and them is I figure that out, and I'll tell you that. So I'll actually go off and try to ask people to help me out. Now, many of you have heard what I've talked about. I've talked about the idea of creating an environment in prisons to where you can pull certain people out of certain communities, put them into special units, and try to give them a chance at getting their life back on track. Now, that's actually happening already in some special units in Massachusetts. I want to copy this idea, and I'm calling it CREWS. And that is CREWS, Community Reform Units. But Larry, what reforms and what communities should we use? I don't know. That's why I have to ask the COs. They know, is that a group of people who have a certain drug? Is that a group of people who are veterans? Group of people who are business people who are in trouble? Is a group of people who are in the gender and sexual minorities community? Is it people who are sexual offenders? I don't know what those communities are. I have no idea. But the COs know. Not just that, each of these community reform units, they're going to be run by two COs and then volunteers. People who are from that community, who've gotten their life together, who know how to support them, who know how to make it work. But then who should go into those actual reform units? Well, I don't know. But guess who does know? The COs. They know. They can look and say, hey, wait a minute, you know what? This guy shouldn't even be here. Let's get him in there. This guy, he screwed up, but he deserves a second chance. Let's get him in here, him in there. Oh, this guy, he's a monster. Nope, leave him in. No, he doesn't need to go. These doesn't need to go. And all of a sudden now, corrections officers can be doing something very important. Correcting. Actually correcting. Not just being prison guards, but actually being corrections officers. Using their knowledge, using their experience, using what they have to actually get people into an opportunity to have a second chance. Maybe COs, instead of always going home thinking, God damn it, why am I doing this job? Just 5 years more, just 6 years more. Maybe they can go home saying, you know what? Today I made a difference. Today I gave some guy or some gal a shot, a chance to prove themselves to have a second chance. And you know what else I did? I kept some monster idiot from having that same chance. Maybe all of a sudden COs can start feeling like they're valuable again, like they're important again, which they are. If I'm going to fix my prison population, if I'm going to reform my prison system, I have to somehow join hands with those people who are there every single day. And if all they're thinking about is, I gotta get out of here in 5 years, I gotta get out of here in 7 years, how am I gonna fix it? The environment has to change. We've gotta negotiate their contract. We've gotta show them what the next steps are. We have to give them the opportunity to take those steps into making a difference in people's lives. And their correction officers who are forced to be mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, therapist, and everything else, disciplinarian, educator, lawyer, everything. Well, if I'm gonna force someone to do that, how about instead I give them the freedom to actually make a difference, to make a change? So I want to make sure that if we have actual prison reform and we actually make our prison system better, if we give if we actually care about both the COs and the prisoners, we've got to get them all together and start talking about that, adding the COs into the actual conversation so we can have real prison reform. All right. I hope some of you people out there who might be COs heard that. If you know people who are, let them know. If we're going to make prison reform happen, we have to make sure that we count everybody who's involved in part of it. And people ask, I'm sorry, way off. People asking about my hat. This is the Utica Blue Sox. I was lucky enough, honored enough to throw out the first pitch this week. And yes, I threw a strike. Not in the dirt. I threw a strike. So on the Facebook page, if you think I'm lying, I taped the old things. I knew I was going to throw a strike. You know why? Born and raised outside of Yankee Stadium. It's in my blood. Of course I throw a strike. Anyway, gonna take a phone call. This is Tommy on line one. How are you, Tommy?
Hey, Larry. I'm doing good, buddy. Hey, I've got two questions for you, and both of these are dealing with my plan for the drug problem here in Washington County.
Okay.
My first question is this. My plan is to get everybody on the same page. And
okay.
That includes starting with the health department and going all the way down to the first responders.
Okay.
What is your best advice for doing that? And the second question is this. Once I get them on the same page, how do I get them convinced that this plan, one, will work, and two, it's the best way forward?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the plan yet at all. Here's what I want you to focus on. Here's what we can all agree upon. Focus on the outcome. What do you want to achieve? Focus on that. Right now, people focus on plans and they sell themselves to a plan, then a plan has to work. They tie themselves to a plan and now you're fighting. Instead, focus on the outcome you want and then the way you want it to look at the end. Right? I would like this to be the outcome. I would like it to look like this at the end. Can we talk about that? That's your first step. If people show up, either on the phone, in a chat, in person, whatever the case may be, if they show up, let them talk about an outcome they all agree upon. If you can't all agree upon the outcome, it's not going to work, no matter what. So focus on the outcome first. Once you focus on the outcome, then walk them backwards through your idea. Backwards, not forwards. I want this outcome. Well, what if we could do this? Okay, what if we can do this? What if we can do this? So start with the outcome and walk backwards. If you do that, you got a very good shot at getting people to be on board. Was that helpful?
Yes, sir. That's perfect. Thank you.
Good. All righty. Have a great night. Talk to you soon. All right. So do you like what you're hearing? Great. Go to LarrySharpe.com. That's LarrySharpe. And the E stands for electable. If you didn't happen to see my live feed the other day, polls came out. Now, the worthless Siena poll and all those garbage guys, they didn't bother putting me in the poll, even though I'm literally the Libertarian candidate for governor of New York State. They thought it wasn't important enough. Who cares? Yet, in the poll that we actually saw, the Gravis Marketing Poll, which is an independent, nonpartisan, scientific poll, all of a sudden, I have a better shot at beating Cuomo. Yes, I have a better shot at beating Cuomo than the Republican sacrificial lamb. Cuomo beats him by 10 points, 55-45, in a head-to-head race. A head-to-head race with me, he beats me by 2 points. Oh, it's bad, Larry. No. Margin of error? 4 points. Statistical tie, and we're 5 months out. Yet Siena doesn't want to bring up my name. Shame on them. That's not fake news. That's fake polls. Fake polls. Absolutely. All right. If you want to call in, 877-480-4120. I will be back after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
It's Larry Sharp. I am back, and I've swapped hats. My daughter has told me she wants the cool Utica Blue Sox hat, and I get the cat ears. What are you going to do? When your daughter asks you to wear cat ears, what do? You wear cat ears. And that's my daughter, Barbara, behind me. She's sitting here waving and happy and laughing at the things that I say. What are you going to do? It's how it works. All right, I'm going to grab one more call. This is Ernest. Ernest, how are you?
Good. How's yourself?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
I was just wondering where you stand on the gun control.
Yeah, it's a great question. There are three parts I want to deal with when it comes to firearms. The first one is getting rid of the SAFE Act. The SAFE Act, as I've said a bazillion times, I'm glad some of you are already asking about it, is a terrible idea. It makes no one safer. It does nothing. And it's embarrassing that the governor is actually around talking about how awesome it is and wanting to do more. Just to be clear, the governor now has decided that his next thing is letting teachers and asking teachers to, when they see a student who may have a problem, to tell a judge to go steal their parents' guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So what he's asking is, hey, teacher, you should now be responsible, either criminally, civilly, or socially, for what your student might do. So because of that, you need to go make sure that student's parents get their guns confiscated. Now, what's that going to do? It's literally going to make the teachers become part of Cuomo secret police. This is the Stasi or the Gestapo. That's what that is right now.
Yeah, Hitler did the same thing.
Say it again?
I say Hitler did about the same thing. But
yes, but I didn't want to say Hitler because now we just did Godwin's Law. Come on, don't do Godwin's Law on me. Those guys who know that. Yes,
okay,
Godwin's Law.
Okay, I don't want
to
get started.
Oh, good. No, I'm just teasing you. What I'm saying is you're right, though. And if we do this, then all of a sudden teachers are going to have to say yes to everything. Because what happens when one teacher doesn't do it? If the teacher doesn't do it and some kid does something wrong, that teacher is now liable. What does that mean? Every teacher is going to do it every single time, guaranteed. And what happens if a judge decides to not do it and some kid does something wrong? Every judge is going to do it every single time. But Larry, the kids without guns, then they wouldn't shoot anybody. Well, yes, they wouldn't shoot anybody without guns. That's true. But would they still kill? Yes. The last kid who
I'm just old school. We used to take ours to school with us, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying we should go there
when
now.
We were hunting. We would, you know, because you had to take it on a bus to go to a different area to hunt.
You know?
We would take it to school and we would turn it into the principal when we got there and pick it up when we left. You know
that you live in New York State, right?
Yeah, I do.
That's not happening right now. That's not happening right now. Let's do this. Let's just end this new terrible idea. Number one. Second, let's make the SAFE Act so irrelevant that it gets repealed. Right? I can't, as governor, personally repeal that. I don't have constitutional power to do so. But what I can do is pardon those people who were convicted of SAFE Act offenses. I can then not fund the SAFE Act at all. I can veto any funding whatsoever. And on top of that, I can let people know that if you're part of my law enforcement is the lowest priority. Over the course of 2019, what will happen is this will all of a sudden be so irrelevant that now in 2020, I have given the assembly air cover so that they can repeal. So 2020, the SAFE Act becomes irrelevant. 2020, it gets repealed. On top of that, we have them, which I'm talking about, universal carrying, which means if long as you purchased your firearm legally, as long as it is locked and unloaded, you can travel across any county. That's not really true now. Cops will put you in jail in New York City if you're carrying your firearm. But there's one more thing. And that is New York State right now says your gun is loaded if the ammunition is in the vicinity of your firearm. That is insane. Loaded means bullets in the gun. I know that sounds crazy, but legally that's not true. Legally, I can have a pack of ammunition sitting in one bag and a gun somewhere near that bag, and a cop can go, loaded. That's got to end. Last, I want pistol permits to either be accepted or denied. I'm sorry, approved or denied within 90 days with an appeal process. If we do that, we can rock and roll. Now, I know people want more. That's what I can give you in the first 4 years. I can guarantee, actually in the first two. I can give you that in the first 2 years. That I can promise you. The rest, we'll see what happens. Did I answer your question, Ernest?
Yes. We've always had guns, and I don't want to lose mine.
I don't want you to lose yours either.
I'm 60 years old, man. I don't give my gun up.
I don't want you to give it up. I would like you to keep it. I'd like you to be able to take it wherever you want in the state, too. I would like that. I agree with you. We're on the same page, my friend.
Well, you got my vote.
Oh, I like to hear that.
The problem that's been bothering me the most out of the whole deal.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling us. I appreciate it.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you.
Great.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Brian, do you have any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Jimmy asks, are you for or against sanctuary cities?
It's a great question. I get it all the time. Here's the reality on sanctuary cities that makes people angry, but I'm going to tell you the truth because I'm never going to pander. New York City is never going to not be a sanctuary city ever. Not going to happen. New York City likes being a sanctuary city. It's going to be one. Here's the issue. If we don't change New York State, meaning we don't allow New York City to be what it wants to be, and then allow each individual county to choose how it wants to deal with immigration, we're going to have a problem. In my goal, I want each county to decide how they want to handle their own immigration issues. Do they want to actually budget funding for ICE? Do they want to simply help ICE but not budget? How much budget do they have? Is it $500,000? Is it $5 million? Not my place. Let the county decide where and how they want to spend their money helping or not helping ICE. Up to them. What does that mean? We will only have several sanctuary counties. They may say, but Larry, it's against the law and New York City shouldn't be a sanctuary city. You're right. They shouldn't be. And they're going to be. And if we don't allow what I'm talking about, what's going to happen is we're going to act like California. California is about to become a sanctuary state. So you don't have a choice. The cities decide what everyone else has. If we don't adopt the plan I'm talking about, allowing counties to create their own policies on sanctuary or not, how much money they spend or not, where regions can find the right answers for their actual immigration issues, the entire state will become a sanctuary state. I don't want that to happen. This is the right answer. And here's the worst part. There are people in California now talking about an idea to where when they become a sanctuary state, if a county doesn't accept sanctuary status, then they will punish them. Yes. So the state which ignores the nation will punish the county that ignores the state. And they see no hypocrisy in that whatsoever. And guess what? That's where this state's going to go if we don't do what I just said. I want to make sure that each individual county and regions decide how to deal with their own issues. So look, if you have an MS-13 problem in Suffolk County, deal with it the way you need to deal with it. You'll figure that out. If you're Queens, you're letting them in. That's how it works, and I'm okay with that. I've been talking about allowing local government. This is part of it too. I hope I answered that question.
Mike wants to know, where in Long Island did you grow up?
Yes. When I was a little baby, I was born in Manhattan. But as a youngster, I grew up in the South Bronx, right by Yankee Stadium. Hence, I can still throw a strike. As a teenager, though, I grew up outside of Central Islip. I went to Central Islip High School. I grew up in a smaller place called North Great River on an avenue called Connectquot. I grew up on Connectquot Avenue. Hope that answers your question. All right. I have, who's this, Nolan? I have Nolan on line one. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm a I'm a big fan of yours. I'm from the upstate areas.
Okay.
Now, because I was watching your video on Reason TV. On Reason TV the other day.
Yeah. You mean the one where they spent
people ask me, how do you know, well, you know, how to help the upstate areas if you're not from the upstate? And you said, I don't. And yes. I thought that was a really, really honest answer, because a lot of politicians like to pretend like, oh, they're upstaters when they're not. Like Tish James, who's running for attorney general, she said recently, oh, well, I spent 5 minutes in Schenectady. I guess I'm kind of an upstater. And it's like, no.
Look, you cracked my daughter up, too. Well done.
My question is, I'm from the upstate. Obviously, the upstate areas, I'm from a small village up near Saratoga. So where, the upstate New York used to be one of the best places to live in. And now we have jobs leaving and everything. And the economy is, not great. So what would be your plan as governor to get the economy rolling upstate and to make the upstate a more prestigious place to live in?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yes, I'm open to say that I'm not about saying that I'm the smartest guy in the room and that I know everything. I don't know everything. I'm okay with that. My goal is to empower you to actually help yourself. So with that in mind, here's what I'm going to do. I want to start, first off, removing unfunded mandates. What does that mean? Right now, your county is probably run by Albany and or Washington, which means you don't have any way of actually changing how you spend your own money. You're stuck having money pulled away from you going to Albany, and then they decide what you must spend the remaining on, and then they use Hunger Games and decide to give some of that out in different gifts to the local cronies. That has to stop. I want you to decide what to do with your money and keep a whole lot more money in your county. That isn't it. That is the only thing. I want to help farmers and businesses. How do I help farmers? I want to create a farm bill. This is heavily for those of you who are not in the downstate area, but for some of you who are, a farm bill where it allows someone who agrees just by signing a sheet of paper, not through some program or something where only my buddies get it, sign a sheet of paper that you will only sell your product or service in New York State. And I want to make you immune from all federal regulatory bodies. That will allow small businesses to have a bit of an advantage. Big businesses always sell across borders. They're big business. But small businesses don't. So now if you choose to sell and only in New York State, you will get a bit of a benefit. That works for farmers. But I also want to do it for small businesses too. So if you're a garage business, a small business, you can start up a new business as fast as possible. That will help you to get up and running. But more than that, if you either are a felon or you hire a felon and you're a small business, I want you to pay no state payroll tax for the first 2 years. What does that mean? If you're a felon trying to get your life back in order, it gives you a bit of a benefit. If you know a guy, the reason why I want small business for felons, big businesses often hire on process. So it's very easy for a bad guy to get through. But small businesses, they hire one-on-one, which means they know the guy they're going to hire. So you know what? I know my friend's kid who just screwed up once, did something dumb, and needs a second chance. I can now hire that kid and give him a second chance, 2 years, no payroll tax. But Larry, if people do that, then they'll just hire felons for 2 years and fire them. Good! You're training my felon population. Good idea! Thank you, please do that. But even more, I want to make licensing and regulations a whole lot easier. What does that mean? You only require a license here's my general rule. Would you ask your friend to do it? If you'd ask your friend to braid hair, if you'd ask your friend to walk a dog, no license. Would you ask your friend to remove your gallbladder? Probably not. Get a license. So you want to start a business that isn't... I cracked my daughter up. It's good. So you want to start a business that doesn't require some crazy education or something like that? Just start. I don't need you to get a license or permit. Just go. But not just that. I want to simplify the tax code so that the small business owner does not have to have an accountant. If the small business does not have an accountant, guess what? They save some money and they won't get hit with fines. The reason why the detailed regulations and tax laws exist is because big business can find loopholes so they don't pay taxes. That's why big business winds up paying less as a percentage than small business. But if it's a simplified tax code, then guess what? Big business pays the same percentage as small business, as it should. And they don't get the extra advantage. Small business has a chance. But not just that. if we have a bunch of rules, there's always fines. And when fines hit a big business, you know, a fine of $25,000 for a big business is a pain and we move on. A fine of $25,000 for a small business, someone's getting fired or some business is going under. So if we can make those changes, we can see people starting to have better chances and opportunities. Was that clear?
Yeah, thank you. And I saw that unfortunately that New York was listed as the bottom 50 on the list of freedom in the 50 states.
That's correct. We were number one.
Yeah.
We beat California.
We need to change that. We need to lower taxes. We need to repeal the SAFE Act. So I just got to say good luck to you in November.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great night.
Thanks, you too, Larry.
All righty, LarrySharp.com. Guess what? If I'm here, I'm not working. You guys know, if you're watching my page, I spent the last 5 days running around this state. That means I was not with my family. That's why I grabbed my daughter when I got back this afternoon. I was not with my family for 5 days. I was not in front of clients. I was not marketing, which means I wasn't making money and I was sacrificing. I'm asking you, if you like what you're hearing, if you want other candidates to act the way I'm acting, maybe minus the ears my daughter put on my head, but if you want them to be able to be open to you and talk to you and chat with you, you got to support them. LarrySharp.com. Donate. Give what you can give. $100, $25, $50, whatever you can do helps. If I'm here, I'm not making money. Talk to you after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
It's Larry Sharp here on the Governor's House, LarrySharp.com. If you want to call into the station, it is 877-480-4120. Let me grab another call. This is Dave. Dave, how are you, sir?
Great. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What's up?
Well, two questions.
Okay. Larry
Sharp. Number one, I was...
You need to turn your radio down.
Yeah, I hear that.
There we go.
Well, first off, when I was growing up, I traveled with my father as a sales rep on the road, and I became a sales rep. Is your daughter going to be a politician?
I like that, yes. I was a sales rep on the road for many years. I know that feeling, brother.
Now, also, what's your feelings about New York State health care?
You know, it's a big problem, but it's not just New York State. And the issue is, the biggest overall issue, and this is an overarching issue, and that is, we have confused healthcare insurance with healthcare. So we say we want healthcare reform. That's not what we have. We have healthcare insurance reform. And we don't need health care insurance reform. We need health care reform. Health care is a disaster. And what's happening now, if you see, particularly in New York City, you're seeing what pops up is a two-tiered system. If you look at the people who have a lot of money, they don't go to doctors that take insurance. So already some of the best doctors are not taking insurance. And if the system continues to go the way it's going to go, what's going to happen all of a sudden is no good doctors are going to take insurance. What does that mean? You go to a doctor's office with a good doctor who takes no insurance. They're going to have two administrators and five doctors. You go to the other one, they're going to have... No, scratch that. Yes, that's right. Yes, the other one is going to have two doctors and five administrators. You have more administrators when they take insurance because they care more about copying your insurance card than actually you. So right now, the insurance companies are their customer and or the government is their customer. You aren't their customer. That's the problem. The problem is you aren't the customer. If your doctor takes insurance and your appointment's at 2, you get seen at 3:45. You get seen for 5 minutes maybe, and then they give you either a prescription or a procedure, because that's how they make money. That's all they focus on. That's all. That's not the right way of dealing with healthcare. But if you go to a doctor that does not take insurance, they actually talk to you. You pay by credit card or you pay by check. They chat with you. Your appointment's at 2. You get seen maybe 2:05. And they give you a real conversation and help out. Wow, that's great. But then what? How can we make that actually happen for everyone? What that is, if we want to make it happen for everyone, we have to make healthcare itself transparent. Totally transparent. That's step one. What does that mean? How much does it cost? Where is it coming from? Right now, the healthcare industry is a cartel. There is literally people in a room that decide, you know what we're going to charge for an aspirin? $100. No, $150. I'm not making that up. Do your own homework. That's a fact. It's a cartel system. They decide what they're going to charge, when they're going to charge you. That's not how a market works. How do I know that? Look at all of the medical procedures that are not considered essential. LASIK, cosmetic dentistry, cosmetic surgery, all those things. What's happened across the board? Every single one of them, 100%. Pricing has come down. Technology has increased. Service has gotten better. Every single time. It's gotten better, better, better outside. Remember when cosmetic dentistry no one could get? People can now. Remember when LASIK surgery was thousands of dollars? People can get it now. How do I also know what's happening? If you go out there to places like Oklahoma has a surgery center. You see places in New York City now who are starting what I'm calling the Costco model. The Costco model means, in my eyes, I call it that, is, okay, I've got 500 people who are my customers. Each of them pays me $500 a month or $300 a month, whatever it is. They pay me that amount of dollars per month. I now know what I'm getting every single month. I know what to buy, how to act, how to deal with my business. And if you have a problem, you show up. And whenever you show up and whenever you need to, it's $5. They tried this for free. And when they did it for free, senior citizens showed up every single day and hung out with their friends. That's what actually happened. So they can't do it for free. So they now charge $5 or $10. So you literally can come $5 or $10 to a doctor's office if you pay whatever, $500 a month, whatever the case may be. But Larry, what about poor people who can't afford it? Well, you can still keep a Medicaid or Medicare system if you want to for those people who can't do it. Or instead, you can give the doctor's offices benefits or some value or some discount or some tax cut if they decide that up to 10% of their population they will take for free in some way, shape, or form. And maybe we decide what that might be. For example, maybe we decide if they qualify for free lunch. I'm making that concept up, but you get the idea. If they qualify for that and you take those people in at 10% of your population, you get a specific a discount on your payroll tax, a discount on something like that. Now, you're a large hospital group. That's a big chunk of money. You might be happy to do that and take some people. You're a small company. You're a small one or two person doctor office. You may not want to, but it allows you to do that if you want to. There are many different ways you can do this, but the concept is transparency and then fixing health care. I have one more side with health care, and that is actual licensing in health care. We spend a lot of time forcing people to do a whole lot of licensing to become a doctor. Not you shouldn't, but there are ways you can do it with doctor supervision. Well, Larry, that would be crazy. We thought that with nurse practitioners, didn't we? And somehow nurse practitioners are amazing. Then we got crazy. Then we thought with physician's assistants. And somehow that's working amazing. Yes, people who have smart, solid knowledge, who then get actual clinical experience under a doctor, somehow are amazing. Oh, yes. Why aren't we doing that? More of that. But we force them to spend more and more time in school, more and more time doing crazy stuff to where it's harder to become a doctor. It costs so much money, so much more debt. No. As long as we have a doctor who is overseeing, we can make even the licensing process easier. So more people can become doctors, more people can become physician assistants, more people can become nurse practitioners in local areas near their homes, in neighborhoods that don't have good services. Yeah, that can work. So if we do all of that, then watch the pricing come down, then guess what? We can deal with insurance, and insurance will come down. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. I have a habit of talking a lot, I know. Try to make my daughter laugh whenever I can, too, if I can. All right. So, Brian, any other questions?
So, Jay thinks the state should be split up, and he notes that there are more cows than people in his county.
Yep.
So, how does New York City or Long Island have anything in common with him?
Yes. Well, first off, Suffolk County would be mad at you if you were to say that they had more in common with New York City than upstate. Suffolk County would be angry. You just made a bunch of Suffolk County people angry. So, no. It's a great point. And here's the reality. New York State's not breaking up. Not going to happen. So you can be mad about it. You can shake your fist at it. You can vote for some guy who will tell you he'll do it. He's lying to you. Not going to happen. So here's the next best thing which I have. And that is, instead of forcing New York City to control everything or allowing New York City to control everything, how about I allow each county to be its own county? When I go upstate, I've heard people say this. You guys in Queens are crazy. Great. We think you're crazy. We're fine. We're even. How about I let you be you and you let me be me and we'll be good. All I want to do is allow those local counties to create their own rules, their own regulations, their own culture. Here's the reason. I am doing this because I love New York. One of the reasons why I love New York is because I can actually drive about 3 or 4 hours and get to any part of this country, basically. I can get to Colorado if I go to North Country. I can go to the Midwest if I go out to West New York. And I can get to the largest city in the country if I go to New York City. I can get wine country. I can get cow farms. I can get I can get all kind of things that are on ski resorts, whatever I want in this state, which means this state is diverse. Well, if I accept that this state's diverse, I should probably respect its diversity. I should probably understand that New York City is different than Rochester, which is different than Watertown, which is different than Jamestown, different from Suffolk County. They're different. I should respect them and say, go off, do your own thing. Let New York City be New York City, and let Monroe County be Monroe, let Broome be Broome, let Ontario be Ontario, let them be their own counties. I'm okay with that. So to answer his question, how do I do that? By simply letting New York City be New York City and letting the rest of the state be itself, by region or by county, up to that. I want them to be able to be their own counties, retain their own cultures, retain their own differences, retain their own diversity, and respect that diversity. I hope I answered that question. All right, got to run. 877-480-4120, LarrySharp.com. Please go click donate, support us. We need to make sure we can keep doing this and that I can still keep spending more time away from my family. Wait a minute, that didn't make any sense. But yes, that's what I'm actually doing, spending more time away from my family. $50, $25, $1 million. No, I'm kidding. My max is $44,000. If you want to give that much, feel free. Talk to you after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
It's Larry Sharp. I'm at the governor's house. My daughter is here. She's got both cat ears on and a Utica Blue Sox cap. So awesome for us. She happens to love Utica. I took her up there with the no hospital downtown issue, fighting eminent domain. So it's funny. The actual baseball teams that were on the field, it was Albany versus Utica. So already I was helping Utica fight Albany. See? It's all symbolic. It's exactly what it is. So I'm doing it already. All right. We'll grab a phone call. I want to grab Michelle. Michelle, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
What's going on?
Governor Cuomo, the one good thing he did do was the CD PAP.
The CD PAP.
I was wondering
Tell
if
me
you
what
were
this...
continue it and possibly make it even better, where a handicapped or elderly person, instead of being in a facility or go to a dayhab, they can have an aide of a family friend or a trusted relative and stay safe in their home.
Yes, look, I'm a big fan of people getting the care they want where they want to get it, to include at home. And I'm going to go a little bit off. This includes even homeschooling. This includes home health aides, absolutely, whatever the case may be. What I want to do is, I don't want to say you have to apply to make that happen. Here's what I want to do. The two things I want to work on. Number one, I want to make sure someone has the option of not only having one thing to do, like just the state, just the county. I want to make sure we have private options available. This will also count when it comes to insurance, as I mentioned earlier. But one other thing, I'm trying to create what's called the Charitable Choice Credit. This is a local credit that you can give from your taxes. So if you were to decide that, for the sake of argument, your tax bill is $10,000, you can take $500 of that and put it any way you want. Now, you were going to pay that money to the state anyway, but you can instead say, I don't want to give the money to the state. I want to instead give that money to a nonprofit. You can give $250 to any place in the state, plus another $250 within your county. That's up to $500 you can put to your county. Let's say, for example, you have 40,000 taxpayers in your area, and they decide to give $500 each. Again, this is an option, a choice. You don't have to. It's up to you. That's $2 million that now a nonprofit can get. What does that mean? Nonprofit that is not getting money through the state or through the county. It is coming directly from you to them. They petition the people of your county for this, and maybe they petition to be the home health care aides, or to help train family members, or to help you and family members, or to give you the options that you need when you need them for your loved one. That might mean them doing it themselves. That might mean you being trained. That could be you at a combination. It could be any of those things. What winds up happening is we are now allowing a second option. If you think what the state or the county is doing for you is awesome, please keep using it. Don't stop. Up to you. If you think it's not, you have an option and a choice. Now, here's the best part. With the option or choice, the state option will have to get better, because then people won't use it, and then it won't get funded when I remove unfunded mandates. you guys won't vote to fund it. But if you guys do like it, it'll stay. Plus, if the other nonprofit, if it does a bad job, there's no government contract to where it says, oh yeah, I was looking for $1 million. I was kidding. I meant $3 million. And now you're on the hook because it's crony capitalism. Instead, you can decide, you know what? This company isn't doing what I wanted to do. I don't want to use you next year. I'll use another company. Or even better, if the current government system doesn't work the way you want it to work, you've got to petition Albany and hope they change it. But if there is another nonprofit option, guess what? They will change with their customer base, with their constituents. If you want more, you can get more. If you want less, you can get less. Right. I hope that was clear.
This saves the state like a whole bunch of money because
yes.
Medicaid pays for all these facilities, and instead they're just paying one person to stay home. I do this with my son.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking.
100%.
He's handicapped. He can't be in a facility anymore. He's home with me.
Yep. Absolutely. And I want that.
I had to leave my job to do this, and I don't want to lose that because that's like our income.
But wouldn't it be better if you had a choice to not lose your job if you didn't think that was the answer, to have someone help you out? Maybe someone's in your home 3 days a week so you can work part-time. Maybe someone, you help train somebody to do something better or whatever the case may be. And maybe it's not the only thing that the government gives you, but you have a choice of a nonprofit. Why do I talk about nonprofit so much? Because this is a philosophical issue for me. When someone has a problem, whether it's a financial problem, a medical problem, a disability problem, no matter what it is, an addiction problem, insert thing in, whatever the problem is, the first thing they need is not a program. The first thing they need is somebody who cares. Once you have someone who cares, you can then find a solution. If you've ever gone to a government and said, no, I don't need 5 days of care in home. What I need is 3 days because I want to work part-time. You will find the government, no, you get 5 days or nothing, and that's all you get. Well, I don't want Bob, I want Jake. Nope, rules are you get Bob and that's it. But I don't need someone who knows these things. Nope, that's what you get. Well, that doesn't happen with nonprofits. Unless there's some regulation on them, in which case they then say, I can't do it, it's against the regulations. But if it's not against the regulations, nonprofits consistently say, yes, mom, how can I help you to make your life better for your kid? What can we do? Consistently do that. How do I know that? That's who starts nonprofits. The people who start nonprofits and work in those nonprofits are those who care. That's why they do it. So I want to give you more options for you and your son. I don't want you to have to quit your job unless you want to quit your job. I want you to have options to where you can still work and do the things you need to do and still give your son the attention that you want to give him. Was that helpful?
Yes, it was. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you,
and
Michelle.
And you do have my vote.
Ah, great. Look at that. I'm winning. It's like 3 votes already. See? And if they tell their friends, that's like three more.
I'm a friend of the guy that you had the interview with the other day.
Oh yes. Oh, good. I'm glad. So you've seen me more than once.
Yeah, we're trying to get you to OAN, New York.
All right. Awesome. I'm gonna be out in the Southern Tier. I think July 5th through 9th. So I will do my best to stop by.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
Have a good day.
Have a good night. All righty. So it's very easy for me to answer questions like that because my philosophy is the same no matter what. That's how I feel. I want to give people the best options they can get, to have the best choices they can get, to be flexible and to be happy. I don't know what Michelle's son needs, and I'll never know what he needs. Nor will I know what she wants to give him and what she thinks his future is. I can't know that, but she does, and that's okay. All right, one more question.
Matt asks, what's your view on recreational marijuana?
Yeah, I want to take both marijuana and hemp together and make them absolutely available for any and everyone. I want to, when it comes to farmers, I want marijuana and hemp to be regulated like onions. I'm not exaggerating or joking when I say that, like onions. I want to make sure that if you want to grow marijuana or hemp in your farm, again, you're the farmer. I'm not. I don't assume I know what's right, and I don't assume I have to create some crazy licensing process that I know better than you. No. If you want to grow, grow. no detailed licensing, no crazy taxing. Because when you do licensing and taxing, you ensure one thing. Big business wins, big farming wins, little guy gets screwed. Guaranteed every time. Just grow. Not just that. How about people who have problems and they can't afford their medicine? Guess what? Grow your cannabis in your backyard. I don't care. You can grow onions in your backyard. Grow your cannabis. I don't mind. Do what you need to do that your farm grow the way it should grow. Great. So now we're growing any way we want to. Awesome. How do we sell it? Regulate it like you would anything else in a health food store. Yes, I said like anything else in a health food store. I'm okay with that. I don't mind. But Larry, then crazy things will happen. Wonderful. Where's all the crazy things that happen in health food stores now? Where's the massive deaths from the health food stores now? Here's what I know. The FDA has killed and maimed far more people than any health food store. In fact, they're all health food stores combined, without question. 80% of our opioid addicts all came from prescription drugs okayed by the FDA. So don't tell me that. That's not true. If you look at it the way you've seen it in Colorado, California, Washington State, if you look at it the way it's worked in Portugal and parts of Norway and Switzerland, what are we doing? The fact that His Majesty King Andrew will not allow us to have marijuana just shows what an evil, bad person he is. As I said it, he's a bad person. Why would you stop this from happening? Look, my daughter agrees. She knows too when she's 14. No weed for you. All right, so no, you have to be a consenting adult. Consenting adult, not 14. All right, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate you watching. LarrySharp.com. Help me out. I need the assistance. I got to keep going on. Remember, I've lost about 50% of my income last year. I'll lose 75% this year. I'm bleeding here, but I'm bleeding on purpose. There's value in this. It matters. We're going to make a change. We're going to make impact. Give what you can give. If that's $200, if that's $50, if that's $100, give what you can. LarrySharp.com. Have a great night. I will see you next week here at the Governor's House.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.